Good morning. And today's Daf and Sukkah is Chaf. We are starting on Yud Tes Amud Beis. No better way than to give proper background to today's Daf than to just simply go back to the Mishnah. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the Mishnah on Yud Tes Amud Beis and start again with the Machatzelus. We're talking about using mats for Schach. Again, going back to the very basics in terms of what is qualified as Schach. So it has to be something which is gedulim and arts, of course, from the ground, and it has to be detached from the ground, and it cannot be makabel tumo. So once it is, once it has all three of these aspects, so then it would qualify as kosher schach. Otherwise, it's pasul schach. So what we're going to be discussing over the course of this morning, for a good part of this morning, is going to be using the mats. Mats made out of reeds. So obviously they grow from the ground. Obviously they're detached from the ground. So it conforms to rules one and two. But rule number three is where it's going to be open for a discussion. Is it in fact going to be mekabel tumah? So again, just in terms of a primer of tumah, so we know that when it comes to something that grows in the ground, when it's kliates, so it's mekabel tumah, but only when it is a kli with a toch. It has to have some sort of insert. It has to have some sort of receptacle. If it does not, so it's not going to be mekabel tumah. That is rule number one. But there's a second rule as well, which is that if it's omid l'shchiva, if people lie down on it or if people sit on it, so then it could be subject to what's called tumas medras. Tumas medras, another form of transmission of tumah, where you have either a zava, nida, yoledas, sitting on an item that was designed for sitting. So that item now is going to become tameh, and as far as the rules of medras is concerned, so it is going to be tameh to the same degree of that person that's sitting on it. So when I have a kli that's meant for either lying down or for sitting, so then it's going to be subject to tumas medras. So over here, what we have to do in terms of an investigation of whether or not the mats are going to be mekabel tumah is that we have to see, is it subject to tumas kalim? Well, it's wood, and it doesn't have a toch, so the answer is no. Is it subject to tumas medras? So the answer very well may be yes. In other words, it's a mat, and people may lie down on it, and that's going to be our discussion. With all that stated as a basic introduction, so let's see the Mishnah inside. Machatzelos, the Mishnah starts off. Machatzelos kanim, so I have a mat made out of reeds, gedola sele shchiva. So if it's large, it is made for shchiva, and mekabels tumah, and therefore, it's mekabel tumah. Ve'im esachim ba, lesichach. I'm sorry. Ve'im esachim ba, and you cannot be mesachich with it, because it's mekabel tumah. Lesichach, however, if it is made for sichach, meaning that when manufactured, when constructed, it was done so with the intent of using for schach. So then, mesachim ba, and mekabel tumah. So then you could use it for schach, and it's not going to be mekabel tumah. That is the sheet of the Tanakama. So we're going to come back to that because, again, in the Tanakama's position, we're really unclear in terms of what would be the status of a small mat. What are our defaults? Meaning, the Mishnah is talking about where I made it for this or I made it for that, but what if I didn't make it for either one? So a lot to clarify within the sheet of the Tanakama. We're coming back to the Tanakama in just a moment. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Achaz Ketana V'Achaz Gedola, Asa L'Shchiva Mekabel Tumah, Ve'en Mesachim Ba. L'Sichuch Mekabel Ba, Ve'en Mekabel Tumah. So we know for Rabbi Eliezer that it doesn't matter, size is not going to play a factor, whether it's large or whether it's small. So it just simply depends on whether it's L'Sichuch or whether it is going to be for Shchiva. Once again, we're a little bit confused within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, although we know that according to Rabbi Eliezer, size is not going to play a role, but we don't know what the generic intent is going to be. Okay, so there's a lot to clarify in the Mishnah, and so for the first half of today's daf, what we're going to be trying to do is trying to gain clarity and see what exactly are the opinions of the Tanakhama versus the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara opens up by setting ourselves up. Hagufa Kashya, it starts off as being difficult. So the first part of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama, talks about where I made it for the express purpose of lying down. So hastam l'sichach. That means to say that default, it's for schach. And then v'hadotini, and then the Mishnah confuses us by saying l'sichach. But what if I made it for schach? So then mesachim ba v'in mekabel tumah. So then it's not going to be mekabel tumah. So tamid al l'sichach hastam l'shchiva. Okay, that means that stam it's for shchiva. Okay, so what we have are conflicting inferences in the Mishnah in terms of what would be the story of stam according to the Tanakhama. So the Gemara says, halokasha, ham gedola, kam b'ketana. So the Gemara says that what we're going to do is we're going to make a distinction between gedola versus ketana. So if it's gedola, so we're going to say that stam, it's for shchiva. I take it back. Let's say it again. Right now, in this round of interpretation of the Mishnah, if it is Gedola, so then Stam, it's for Schach. In other words, it's too large for somebody to lie down on. In other words, if you're making a mat that is excessively large, large over here simply means that it's larger than one person. Typically, the mats that were made for lying down were made for one person, for the size of one person. So if it's basically 3x1 or 4x1, something along those lines, that's Ketana. Anything significantly bigger than that, that's Gedola. Okay, so right now what we're saying is that a Gedola Stam, it's for Sichuch, and a Ketana a Stam for Shechiva. Okay, that's what the Gemara is proposing right now. Skip the parentheses, and Rabbi Eliezer Omer Achas Ketana Vachas Gedola, Asa L'Shechiva Mekabel Stoma, Ve'ein Mesachim Ba. So, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, doesn't matter if it's large, doesn't matter if it's small, if it is made for Shechiva, so then it's Mekabel Toma. So, Taima Dasa L'Shechiva Asam L'Sichuch. Okay, but once again, now the Gemara is going to be confused within the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, the inferences. In other words, the first part of Rabbi Eliezer sounds like the inference would be that Stam it's for Schach. And then Eim Asefa, but now go to the next part of the Mishnah. So Asa L'Sichuch Mesachim Bav, Inim Mekabel Toma. So Taima Dasa L'Sichuch Asam L'Shechiva. So Stam it's going to be for Shechiva. Okay, so at this point in time, we're trying to wrap our heads around the Mishnah and try to figure out what are the significant factors, what's the default on each of the mats under discussion, both according to the Tanakhama and according to Rabbi Eliezer. And right now, the Gemara is just a little bit confused. Ella Amar Rava. So the Gemara says, okay, so here we are now with a new round of interpreting our Mishnah. We are in your Testament Beis. We are four lines from the bottom. B'gedola kol amar lo pligi d'stam l'sichuch. So when we're talking about large mats, so we have no debate between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. A large mat without any intention, and it was just simply made default. So the default setting of a large mat is that's for schach. People don't lie down on a large mat. It's normally not constructed for people to lie down on. And so therefore some it's l'schach. And that's both according to the Shita of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. So ki pligi b'ketana, the debate revolves around a small mat. Tanakhama savar stam ketana l'shchiva. According to the Tanakhama, a small mat is designed for lying down on. And that's the default setting and with no intention. And Rabbi Eliezer Sefer Stam Ketana Nam L'Sichuch. And Rabbi Eliezer on this disagrees and he says no, that a small mat is Stam L'Sichuch. V'hachi Ka'amar. And now this is how we're going to be reading the Mishnah based on this interpretation. Ma'achat Salsa Kanim Gedola Asa L'Shechiva Mekabal Stoma Ve'im Asachim Ba. Taima Da Asa L'Shechiva. It by the Gedola, if it's made for Shechiva, then it's for Shechiva. But Hastama, but default is Nasa Kemisha Asa L'Sichuch. It's like you made it for Schach u'misach chemba. So I hope you were following well, and I hope I explained that well. Meaning basically, even though the Mishnah says l'sichuch, what we're understanding that to mean now is that stama it's l'sichuch. Skip the parentheses. V'yasa Rabbi Eliezer l'meim rachas ketana v'achas gedola stama kshira l'sichuch. And along comes Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, that's not only true by the gedola, that's also true by the ketana as well. Meaning by the Ketana, the Tanakhama would tell you that Ketana stamas l'shchiva, and Rabbi Eliezer is coming along. Rabbi Eliezer is saying, no, that by the Ketana, stama is also going to be for Sichuch as well. Okay, so this is all now Rava's understanding of our Mishnah and how he interprets the Mishnah. Now, so far, we do have a working understanding of the Mishnah. The problem is that it doesn't work so well. Amar le Abaye challenges. Ihachi Rabbi Eliezer, Amar achas Ketana v'achas Gedola. So question number one from Abai to Rava. Number one, if everyone's in agreement that the Gedola is Stama L'Sichuch, so then how should Rabbi Eliezer made a statement? He should have said, not Achas Ketana, Achas Gedola, which is actually what is found in the Mishnah, but rather the way he should have formulated was Achas Gedola, Achas Ketana. Why? As Rashi over here points out, I'm paraphrasing Rashi. Because when you are trying to counter somebody's argument, so the first thing you want to do is that you want to talk about the area where you and him have common ground. So that's the Gedola, meaning the way Rav is presenting it by the Gedola. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, I'm with you by Gedola. Achas Gedola, v'achas Ketana. And then afterwards, you want to inject your Chiddush. So if Rav is right, and by Gedola, there is agreement between the Tanakham and Rabbi Eliezer, so then great. So then what Rabbi Eliezer, the way he should have formulated it is Achas Gedola, where we agree that Stama it's L'Sichuch, and achas ketana. And here's where I disagree with you. You think that ketana stamas l'shchiva. I think that ketana stamas l'sichuch. Okay, that's question number one of Abaye to Rava. It's a textual question based on what we presume to be the opening part of the statement versus the second part of the statement. Va'od, and furthermore, ki plig begadola hu de pligi. And on top of that, Abaye says to Rava, I also happen to know that the Tanakama and Rabbi Elezer do in fact argue about a gedola. How do I know that? The Rabbi Elezer l'chumra. And I also happen to know that Rabbi Elezer is a more machmir position. The way that Rava is explaining it is that they're arguing about Katana and Rabbi Elezer is a more makel position. Abaye is countering and saying, look, I know differently. I know they're arguing about a large mat, and I know that Rabbi Elezer is a machmir. How do I know that? The Tanya? Because I have a brisa, and the brisa of Abaye reads as follows. Machat salsa kanim gedola misachim ba. So if I have a large mat, you could use it for schach. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, imein mekabel tuma misachim ba. Oh, if it's not mekabel tuma, then you're misachich. So, which means to say, what do you mean? What does it mean? It's not mekabel tuma. Meaning it wasn't made for shchiva, but rather it was made for a sikuch, which means that stam it's for shchiva. So it comes out now that according to Rabbi Eliezer, by gedola, stama, it's for shchiva. So that means that Rabbi Elazar is arguing, number one, there are 2 points to be made over here. Number one, Rabbi Elazar is arguing about the large mat. Number two, Rabbi Elazar comes out to be a machmir. That's what comes out from this brisa over here. And so, Ella, Amar, Rav, Papa. So now that Rav's position has been challenged, both from a textual standpoint and also from the brisa standpoint. So now the Gemara is going to come around with it. So you can call this now the third understanding of the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar. Here we go now, round three. This is with Rav Papa. If I'm making a small mat, again, the dimensions of small over here is that it fits one person. So if I'm making a small mat, so then, and I don't articulate what the intention is, the assumption is that the intention is going to be, it's for lying down on, it's for shchiva, therefore it's subject to Tumas Medras. Therefore you can't use it for schach. And there's no debate around that. That is agreed upon position. And ki pligi begedola, the debate revolves around the gedola. Tanakama suffers tam gedola sichach. Ah, so now the Tanakama says that if you're making it large, large over here means that it exceeds what, it well exceeds the size of one person. And now you are not declaring why you made it. So according to the Tanakama, the default is that it's going to be for schach. And Rabbi Elazar suffers tam gedola nam l'shchiva. And according to Rabbi Lazar, no, it's also for shchiva, it's for lying down on. Umay asal shchiva de kamar. And now when Rabbi Lazar says asal shchiva, how do we understand that? Hachi kamar. Stam asiyasa nam l'shchiva ad av l'sichuch. It doesn't mean that you made it for shchiva. That means that it is always made l'shchiva. The generic position, the default position of making a mat, regardless of whether it's small or whether it's large, is that it's l'shchiva. You make it to lie down on. Therefore, it's subject to Tumas Medras, according to Rabbi Elazar, and therefore, you can't use it for schach. Okay, Ad Kan, that takes us now through the first part of today's daf, in which we struggled, but the Gemara eventually came to an understanding of our Mishnah in terms of what the default setting is of the mat. The issue actually is very simple. The complication just involves in terms of how the proper way to understand the Mishnah and the machlok is between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar. The idea, the kernel of the idea is very simple. If the mat is designed for lying down on, therefore it's subject to Tumas Medras, since once it's now susceptible to becoming Tameh, I can't use it for schach. If, however, the mat was constructed specifically for the purpose of schach and not for lying down on, so then it would be kosher. Okay, that's the simple idea. But the complexity and the nuance in the Mishnah is what exactly is the position of the Chachamim, and what is exactly the position of Rabbi Elazar. And now, as we could just summarize, as the Gemara has concluded on this topic, according to Rav Papa, so that means that by a small mat, everyone agrees that if you do not articulate why you're making it, so then stamos l'shchiva, people are lying down on it, it's made for a person to lie down on, that's a default setting, and therefore it cannot be used for schach. However, if it's large, so now we have a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar. Tanakama says that stama, it's for schach, and therefore you could use it. And according to Rabbi Elazar, no, stam is for, it's for shchiva, and you're not allowed to use it. Right? Even according to Rabbi Elazar, by the way, if you make a large mat, and you make it specifically for the purposes of schach, so ostensibly, presumably, it would be good. I'm not totally convinced that I'm right about that, but presumably it would be good, if, according to Rabbi Elazar, you articulate and you say that you're making it for the schach. Okay, so obviously on the table for today, and it's going to be most of today's discussion, is using schach mats. All right, schach mats nowadays are extraordinarily popular. They're very easy to work with. They're very easy to store, and they can be reused from one year to the other. Obviously, there are a lot of advantages in terms of the modern day schach mat, which obviously is, you know, of interest to us. So that is something that needs a little bit more discussion. Obviously, our Gemara is the beginning of the discussion, right? You start with our Gemara, but there are other considerations to be had regarding our schach mats, how they're tied, the string is used to tie them, right? Some are of the opinion that the strings that are used are mekabel tuma, even though the schach itself is not mekabel tuma, and there are more discussions to be had regarding our schach mats. So again, it's a great discussion, just simply needs a little bit more than just the daf. But the daf definitely gets us started. Tanu Rabbanan. We are on Chaf Amud Aleph. We are halfway down the Amud. A Braisa Machatzel Shoshipa Vishogemi Gedola Mesachim Ba, Ketanim Mesachim Ba. So if I have a mat made up of Shifa and Gemi, right? Products that come off of a tree. So if it's Gedola, so then you could use it for Schach. If it's Katana, you cannot use it for Schach. Shokanim Vishokhelas, if it's made out of branches, all right, sticks, if you will. So then, gedol mesachim ba, aruga e mesachim ba. So if it is large, you can be mesachich with it. And if it is aruga, right, if it's woven, so then you cannot be mesachich with it. Apparently, if it's woven, it's used for lying down on. That's,
What dimension is considered large and what dimension is considered small?
Small is basically the size of a person. The person's size typically is 1 by 3. Person's height is, well, the Gemara says 3, but it's really more than 3, right? The Tosos Verachas says it's really 4 amos, right? The mikveh has to be 3 amos high because when you go in, so you're going to displace the water so that your 4 amma frame could fit into the mikveh. So anyway, so Tosos says Verachas that a person's height is 4. We've discussed already how a person's width is 1 amma. So basically it's 1 by 4. So when we say sukkah katana, meaning it's basically a mat, that is for a person. That's 1 by 4. Gedola, so I have a harder time giving numbers for gedola, but it means just simply that's substantially larger than one person. That's the basic difference between gedola and katana. Let's go back to the brisa. Let's see the brisa inside. So the vishal chelas, gedola mesachim ba, aruga mesachim ba. So if it's made out of reeds or chelas, so if it's aruga, so if it's woven, that means that a person can lie down on it. So then you can't use it for schach. It's subject to Tumas Medras. And Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Amar Mishum Aviv, Achaziv, Achaziv, Masachim Ba. So as far as Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, quoting in the name of his father obviously being Rabbi Yossi, so Achaziv, Achaziv. So you could use either one. In other words, and neither one of them are going to be considered a shchiva, and therefore you could use it for schach. Vechena ya Rabbi Dosa, Amar Kidvarav. Rabbi Dosa agreed as well. All these different types of mats can be used for schach. Stama, they are made not for lying down, but they're rather made for schach. Tanan Hasam. Okay. We're going to start now with a Mishnah in Adios. This Mishnah can be found in the third parak of Adios. And the Mishnah describes now chot salos. Now, I know it sounds a lot like machat salos, but at this point in time, let's just pretend that we don't know what it is. So kol achot salos metamim tamim meis, divrei Rabbi Dosa. So Rabbi Dosa says that our chot salos is subject to tumas meis. Now what does that mean? That whatever it is, again, right now we don't know, but whatever it is, so it's a kli subject to tumas meis. If a person who comes into contact with the mace itself is an avi avosa tuma, the person coming into contact with the mace is an avatuma, that's what's called a tamim meis. And that person now touches a kli, or an adam for that matter, but right now we're talking about a kli. So that kli now is going to be tame. So that is just simply, all we're saying right now is that it's a kli. And if it's made out of wood, it's got a toch, and it's subject to tumas meis. The chachamim amrim medras. Now the chachamim say that it is something that is either sat on or lied down on. Let's assume right now we're talking about something that we're lying down on, these chot salos, and therefore it's subject to tumas medras. Now the Gemara immediately jumps on the Mishnah in Adios. Medras in tamei meis lo, what do you mean? Once something is eligible and susceptible to becoming Tumas Medrash, it certainly is susceptible to becoming Tame Meis, right? Anything now that can receive Tumas Medrash will by definition be able to receive Tumas Meis. Rashi quotes a Gemara Nida in terms of how we know that, what's the source of that, but that's the halacha. And so right now, our understanding of the Mishnah is slightly incomplete because the Mishnah says that according to the Chachamim, this Chos Halos is subject to Tumas Medrash, as if to say that it's not subject to Tumas Meis. But the Gemara gives quick clarification. Ha'anan tanan kol matame medrash matame tame meis. Good. So the Gemara here quotes the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Nida. Anyway, so Ema af medrash. So the Gemara says, okay, so just in terms of a quick clarification, the Chachamim say that it's subject to Tumas Meis and it's even subject to Tumas Medrash, meaning it's something that we sit on or something that we lie down on, and therefore it's subject to Tumas Medrash. Okay, so now we have an item. We don't know what it is yet. We have an idea, but we don't exactly know what it is yet. And a really interesting machlok is between Rebbe Dosa and the Chachamim in terms of what kind of Tumah is it going to be susceptible to. So Rebbe Dosa says it's only subject to Tumas Meis, which means that according to Rebbe Dosa, it's not something you lie down on. Or let's say it better. It's not something you exclusively lie down on. And so therefore, we can only judge it as a kli. And it's therefore subject to Tumas Meis. But it's a kli. And along comes the Chachamim saying, no, this item, whatever it may be, no, it's something that we lie down on. And therefore it's subject to Tumas Medrash. So it is interesting, whatever it is that we are debating right now. So we're having a really interesting debate in terms of whether or not it's a kli or it's something that we lie down on. So it obviously prompts the Gemara to ask now the next question. My chotz alos. Okay, great. So what does that mean? What in fact are chotz alos? So Amar of Avdimi bar Hamdure Marzuvle. That's helpful, right? Not yet. So my Marzuvle Amar Rabbi Abba Mizavle. No. So Marzuvle is the same thing as Mizavle. So is that helpful? Almost. So Rashi says that Mizavle are some sort of bags, right? A valise. All right, some sort of bag. Rashi says the shepherds use it, and what happens is that when the shepherds get tired, so they take the bag and they lie down on the bag. They put their head on the bag. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar machatzalos mamish, and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, you know what chotzalos are? They are mats. They're machatzalos. Now, for Reish Lakish, it kind of works out in terms of just the word itself, chotzalos, being so similar in nature to the machatzalos. Okay. Let's take them one by one. Each of these positions. Let's start off with the position of Rav Avdimi bar Hamadure, who says that we're talking about a bag. Okay, so now. So according to Rebbe Dosa, it's subject to Tumas Meis, meaning that yes, it is true that you could lie down on it, but what Rebbe Dosa will tell you is that despite the fact that you could lie down on it, but that's not what is going to define Tumas Medrash. Tumas Medrash is something what it is primarily used for Shechiva. Right, the Gemara says numerous places that if one person were to say to another, you know what, pick that thing up because we have to get back to work, Amo v'nasam lachtenu, so then that item was not designed for sitting and it was not designed for lying down on. Rabbi Dosa will tell you that this bag over here, yeah, he could lie down on the bag, but that's not its principal usage and therefore it's only subject to Tumas Meis. And presumably what the Chachamim will tell you is that no, that the bag principally, fundamentally is used for as a pillow for the shepherd, and therefore, it's subject to Tumas Medrash. That would be, presumably, the explanation for Rav Avdimi bar Hamdure. Now, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, so Reish Lakish describes it as mats. Now, obviously, the Gemara is going to be bothered, meaning if it's mats, you could certainly make the argument that it's designed for lying down on. But if it's mats, can you really make an argument that it's a kli? Meaning, how did you understand the Shita Rebbe Dosa? The Gemara is going to be attacking that very point. So we pick it up now where we just left off in the Gemara. So Rabbi Shimon Malakish Omer Machatzalos Mamash. They're mats. The Azda Reish Lakish Letame. Now Reish Lakish is consistent. I'm Reish Lakish. Hareini Kaparis Rabbi Chia Uvanav. I should be a kapar for Rabbi Chia and his sons. Rashi says this is a term of endearment, a term of kavod. That you want to be mechabit somebody. So you say that you are going to be a kapar for that person. The Gemara in Kiddushin, when describing after a person has lost his father for the first year after having lost his father, so he says, Hareani kaparas mishkavo. Okay, so that's what a person should say whenever citing his father, quoting his father within the first year. So over here, similarly, this is not his father, it's his rabbi. But regardless, so it's a term of endearment, it's a term of respect. So hareini kaparas rabbi chia vanav, I should be a kapar for rabbi chia and his sons. Shebitchila, kishenishtacha torah miyisrael. So there were points in time when Torah was forgotten from the Jewish people. Rashi says, we do not mean to say that the entire Torah was forgotten amongst the Jewish people. We mean just simply some details, some parts of the Torah here and there. So kishenishtacha torah miyisrael, ala Ezra mibavel viyazda. So Ezra came and he reconstructed the Torah. What does that mean, reconstruction of the Torah? So it means that we know that there are certain ways in terms of arriving at halachic conclusions. So we have Mesorah, we have Yigam Midrash HaTorah Nidrashas Bahem, and basically it's like the system has, if you will, almost like a backup system to it. So that means to say that if for whatever reason we can't arrive at the conclusion using a Mesorah, so we could use Yigam Midrash HaTorah Nidrashas Bahem in terms of reconstructing the halacha. That's the basic idea. So he says that Ezra did a little bit of reconstruction. And Chazav Mishach Allah Hillel Bavli Viasta, and Hillel also reconstructed. Now here by Hillel reconstructing, so this takes us back to the Gemara that we saw in Pesachim. Remember, the question was: is what happens when the 14th day of Nisan coincides with Shabbos, and how do I bring the knife to the base of Mikdash? And they didn't know how to do it. And Hillel Bavli came along and he reminded them. Okay, Chazav Mishach Alu Rabbi Chiel Vanavi Yazdua. So again, there was some forgetting of the Torah and Rabbi Chiya and his son, so they reconstructed. And they said as follows, meaning, regarding our mats under discussion, all right, we are saying now that these mats, according to Rabbi Dosa, are considered not a medrash, but rather a kli. They will be subject to Tumas Meis, but they will not be subject to Tumas Medrash. Meanwhile, the Chachamim of that Braisa, of that Mishnah in Adio says no. They are in fact considered an item of Shechiva, and therefore they're subject to Tumas Medras. That's the Mishnah in Adios. Now, Reish Lakish now is quoting B'Shem Rabbi Chia, and he says the following regarding that Mishnah in Adios. So let's start two lines from the bottom. V'kacham Rabbi Chia vanav lo nechluku Rabbi Dos v'chacham emam achatzal she Usha. There was no debate regarding the mats of Usha. As we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, Shehein Tameos. There is full agreement over there that they are going to be Mekabel Toma and even Medras. In other words, the people lie down on those mats. Vishel Tveria, Shehein Tahoros. As far as the mats that come from Tveria, so they are Tahor. Tahor over here means Tahor from Tumas Medras. Meaning it's a kli, but they are tar from Tumas Medras. Aman echku, what is going to be the debate between Rabbi Dos and the Chachamim? Al shar mekamos. We're talking about mats coming from other locations. Mar Safer came into like the Asif Alayu. So Rabbi Dos is of the opinion that since people don't sit on them, okay, the Tveria Damian, we're going to treat them like the mats of Tveria, therefore not subject to Tumas Medras. And Mar Safer, according to the Chachamim, came into the Mikre. And now people do sit on them, and therefore we're going to treat them like the mats of Usha. Okay, that is the that is a layered understanding of the machlokes between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim regarding the mats and whether or not they're subject to Tumas Medras. So it really is going to be a function dependent on where they come from. There are certain locations where Kulei Amma agrees that they are in fact Tumas Medras. There are certain locations where they come from where Kulei Amma agree that they're not subject to Tumas Medras. And then the machlokas exists regarding mats that are made in other locations. All this, the Mishnah and Adios, the discussion that we just had, brings us to the final point of this perek. Amar Mar. So Kol HaChotzalos Metam Metam Emesiv Rabbi Dosa. So according to Rabbi Dosa, so we just established that. Rabbi Dosa says that many of the mats, let's say most of the mats that are built around the world, that are manufactured around the world, are not subject to Tumas Medras. However, in that same Mishnah in Adios, he also says, but it's a clean, it's Metame Tumas Mace. Obviously, we have a problem. Vihatanya. Meaning, let's go back to the beginning of today's daf. Not the beginning, but on the Amud Aleph, what do we say? V'cheina Rabbi Dosa Omer Kidvarav. Rabbi Dosa allowed for the match to be used as schach. Now, let's remind each other, right? By schach, rule number one, it grows on the ground. Number two is that it has to be detached from the ground. And rule number three is that it cannot be makabel tuma, not tumas meis, not tumas medras. And so, how could it possibly be that in the Amud Aleph of today's daf, Rabbi Dosa said that you could take these mats and use them as chach, which means then that's not makabel tuma at all. That's what we said on the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Echina Rabbi Dosa Omer Kedvarav. And meanwhile, we just got done learning a Mishnah in Adios, and Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim disagree. But the only thing they disagree about is that whether or not it's susceptible to tumas medras. But they both agree that it is in fact subject to tumas meis. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. If it's subject to tumas meis, you can't use it as your schach. It's a really simple question. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, hadi isle gadanfa, hadi leifle gadanfa. Okay, so what, there are mats, and then there, of course, there are mats. And if the mat has got a rim around it, so then it's a kli, then it's got a toch. If the mat does not have a rim around it, and it's just a mat, so then it's not subject to tumas medras, and because people don't sit on it, people don't lie down on it, according to Rabbi Dosa, and it's also not a kli because it doesn't have a toch. Okay, that's the resolution. Meisve, the Gemara challenges based on the following brisa: chosalos shel ga'a, shel sham v'shel gemi. If I have these mats that are made out of some sort of rubbery material, but in other words, but growing from the ground. Vishel sock, or if it's made out of goat hair, Vishel sefira, if it's made out of horse hair, mitamitame mace, divrei Rebbe Dosa, subject to Tumas mace, according to Rebbe Dosa, vechachamim omrim, af medras, it's subject to Tumas medras as well, bishlam alaman damar marzuvle. Now, if we're talking about the shepherd's bag, so then I understand what's going on over here. Shel sha'am, vishel gemi, Chazu Lakinta de Bere. So if it's made out of Shamar Gemi, so then you could use it as like a basket for larger fruit. And Shel Sak Vishel Sefira, if it's made out of hair, goat hair, horse hair, so Chazu Legulke Vitsine. So basically whatever you would be using for a standard basket, you could use that for here as well. You could use it to put in smaller beans and smaller fruit. But if you're insistent that the Mishnah in Adios, when talking about the Chosalos, is talking about a mat, so it doesn't have a base kibbol, so Bishlama, Shel Sag v'Shel Sefir, I still can at least attempt to give a pshat in the Brisa that we just quoted. If we're talking about something made out of goat hair or horse hair, so Chazal Aparse. So what we could do is that we can use it as a screen for my door. And a screen for the door is, in fact, something which is going to be makabel tuma. Okay. The Vinavasa, and it could also be used as a sieve. It would make for an excellent sieve when I'm trying to sift the flour. So I could use this weave that was made out of either goat's hair or horse hair. But Elo Shasham Vishal Gemi Lamai Chazu. But if we're talking about a mat that's made out of sham or gemi, And it's got really large holes in it. So, and it's just a mat. So how could for a moment we suggest that it's subject to Tumas Meis? Meaning, how could you call it a kli? So the Gemara says, Chazal and Aziyasa. So what we could do is that we could cover the beer barrels with it. Right? In the beginning of Ksuvos, either Vav or Zayin, I think Davav, the Gemara talks about the stopper that's used for the beer barrel and whether or not you could stuff it in on Shabbos. Anyways, the Naziyasa, the stopper, or over here it seems like a cover that's used for the beer barrel, so it can function and it can facilitate the service of a kli, and therefore it is in fact going to be mekabel tuma. Okay, so we can still maintain that chotzalos either is a shepherd's bag. It sounds like it's an easier way to say it, or we can maintain that it in fact is a mat. But as a mat, how could it be mekabel tuma? It doesn't have a kli. It doesn't have a toch. So how could it be a kli? So the Gemara has given numerous approaches in terms of how to deal with it. Just one more round of this discussion, Ikadamre, in a slightly different version. Bishlam alaman damra machatzals mamash. If you say that it's a mat, I understand. Shel sham v'shel gemi chazal nizyasa. So if it's made out of sham and gemi, I could use it as a cover for the barrel. And shel sak v'shel sefir chazal laparse v'navasa. And if it's made out of either goat's hair or horse hair, so I could use it either as a screen for the front door, or we could use it as a sift, as a sieve. Alamand amar mezuvle, but if you want to tell me that's the shepherd's bag, so bishlam shel sak v'shel safir, if it's made out of goat hair or horse hair, so then chazal gulke v'tzani. So I could use it as basically like a basket in order to hold in even small fruit. Elo shel sham v'shel gemi l'may chazah. So the Gemara says, but if it's made of sham and gemi, and they're very, and they're much thicker, and the holes are much larger, so what would I be using it for? So chazal akinta de peri, I would use it for larger fruit. It would be able to be able to hold the larger fruit. Okay. A lot of back and forth regarding the Mishan Adios and the Chotzalos. Two interpretations of what Chotzalos are. Either it's a shepherd's bag or it's Machatzalos. And then just a lengthy discussion in the Gemara in terms of with either of the interpretations, how could you understand that it in fact is going to be subject to either Tumas Meis, meaning it's a Kli with a Toch. How could it be subject to Tumas Medrash? Okay, so a lengthy discussion to be had within the Gemara, Machlokas, Rabbi Dosa, and the Chachamim. All this simply because Rabbi Dosa said that I could take the mats and use them for my schach. Now, if I could take the mats and use them for my schach, that means it's not Mekabel Tumah at all. Not Tumas Medrash, not Tumas Meis. So how did you understand Rabbi Dosa at the beginning of today's daf? The Gemara's answer is that with a mat that has that just flat, so that's what Rabbi Dosa was talking about. But the mat that has a ridge around it, so that's what we're discussing over here. Okay, Tanya. Just to finish up the first parak of the Masechta. I'm Rabbi Chanan Yekasharadati Lagola. So I went down to Golos. So the Masatzi Zachin Echad. And Rashi says, by the way, that he went there to be Ma'avishana. Right, it was a requirement to perhaps extend the year at a second Adar. So Matsasi Zakin Echad Vamali Masachim Bibuja. So I found an elder and he said that I could use mats, I can it for my schach. Kshabati etzel Rabbi Yeshua, Achiaba. Now I went to my uncle Rabbi Yeshua and hold the Dvarav, and he was Mode, he agreed that you can in fact use mats. Amar of Chista, Vuhudalais by Gandanfa. Okay, but good. But let's remind each other what we learned this morning. Right? We're gonna make a long discussion, much shorter, and that is that it has to be a flat mat, it has to be a flat reed. It cannot have any toch to it. Amar Ula Hani Bujasid de B'nei Mechuza. One more halacha that the Gemara shares with us is that the mats that come from B'nei Mechuza, so from the city of Mechuza, Il Malay Kir Shalahem Esachim Behen. So they had a ridge around it. It has some sort of rim around it. If had it not been for the rim, they could use it for schach, but it has a rim around it, and therefore you cannot use it for schach. Tanya Nami Hachi Misachim Bebuja. So you could use the budja, those are the machatzolos that are made in the town of Mechuza, but if it has a rim around it, so that you cannot use it as your schach, because now it has a toch, and therefore it would in fact be mekabel tumah. Okay, a long discussion, Hadron alach sukkah, that's the end of the first perek, a long discussion revolving around the usages of various types of mats. Again, there are two major issues that need to be addressed. One is that the mat is pshute kliyetz and therefore not going to be mekabel tumah. However, if it has a rim around it, like we just learned, so now it has a token, now it is mekabel tumah, and therefore you can use it. And the other issue, as far as the Gemara is concerned, is that if it is designed for sitting, lying down on, so now it is susceptible to tumas medrash. Anything that's susceptible to tumas medrash by definition, also, it's going to be susceptible to Tumas Meis. And that means then now it's going to be Mekabel Tumah. And that means that you cannot use it as Schach. And then all this brings us back to the beginning of our entire discussion this morning. And that is that when I make a mat, am I making it for Shechiva? Am I making it for Schach? What is the default assumption when making a mat? Machlok is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. And it took us three rounds in terms of getting a good pshat between the between Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar, and in just a moment I'll review those positions. In the meantime, however, let's start the second parak of the Masechta. Let's go through the Mishnah and let's go through the first two lines of the Gemara. Hayashin tachad amita besukkah. So let's say you have your bed in the sukkah, and I don't know. Let's give a little narrative over here. I don't know. Lightning. You got scared. Anyway, you ran under the bed. Obviously, the purpose of bringing the bed into the sukkah is that you sleep in the sukkah. And obviously, the intention was to lie down on the bed. Okay, for whatever reason, you got scared, you went under the bed. So lo yasi yedei chavaso. So Tanakama, the Mishnah here, the first Mishnah, the second parak of the Masechta says, no good. You have not fulfilled the obligation of yeshiva besukkah. Why? Because now you're no longer under the sukkah, you're under the bed, which is under the sukkah. Okay, we're going to clarify that point in just a moment. So Rabbi Yehuda says, many times we were under the bed in front of the Zakenim, and they never protested. They never gave us tochacha. Right? If they felt that that was a incorrect behavior, they would have corrected us. They didn't correct us. So therefore it was fine. Am Rabbi Shimon Maisa Betevi Avda Sharebin Gamliel. Shaya Yashin Tachanamita. Rabbi Shimon tells another story regarding Tevi, the slave of Rabbi Gamliel. He was an Eved Kenani. In a moment, we're going to clarify that he is not chayv in the midst of sukkah, and he slept under the bed, in the sukkah. Va'amar lem Rabbi Gamliel zekenim. So Rabbi Gamliel says to the zekenim, Re'isim Tevi Avdi, shehu tam chacham yodeh she avadim petur min hasukkah l'fichach yashinu tachas amita. So Rabbi Gamliel gives a compliment to his to Tevi. He says he knows that he's an Eved, and Eved's patur min hasukkah. Rashi over here points out, a woman's partner from the mitzvah of sukkah, it's a mitzvah seseh shahazman grama. We know that an Eved Kenani is chayiv in all the mitzvahs that a woman are chayiv in, and partner from all the mitzvahs that a woman is partner in. Notable exception to the mitzvah of mila. But anyway, so a woman's partner from the mitzvah of sukkah, and so the Eved Kenani is also partner from the mitzvah of sukkah. And Rabbi Gamliel says that my Eved, who happens to know halacha, so he knows that he's partner from the mitzvah, and that's why he's under the bed, because you're not fulfilling your obligation by being under the bed. And in the course of that discussion, Rashi over here describes it as sichas chulin, meaning they weren't having a heavy halachic discussion. He was just giving a compliment to his Eved Kenani. He didn't mean to issue any kind of halachic statement, but you hang around a Talmid Chacham, you listen carefully to their conversation, even the sichas chulin, even their quote unquote regular conversation is laden with halacha, and so you listen carefully, and you're going to learn. So anyway, but obviously from the Mishnah we have two conflicting viewpoints. The Tanakama, backed by Rabbi Gamliel, says that if you're under the bed in the sukkah, you haven't fulfilled your obligations for reasons we're about to articulate. And meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says that no, you're allowed to be under the bed in a sukkah. What is the basis for the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? So come back tomorrow. We'll discuss it tomorrow. In the meantime, however, let's start with the first two lines of the Gemara. V'haleka asara. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. How is it that the bed now is going to stare your mitzvah of being in the sukkah? Meaning right now you're in the sukkah. Okay, you happen to be under the bed. So what? You're under the bed, which is in the sukkah. So you're in the sukkah. So how can the bed negate the fact that you're in the sukkah? So the Gemara says like this. So v'haleka asara. And the Gemara is assuming right now that the only way that we could view the bed as negating you being in the sukkah is because the bed itself, being under the bed, is like being in another tent. So the Gemara assumes right now that in order for the bed to be qualified as another tent, the bed itself has got to be 10 tefachim high. And that's what bothers the Gemara. This bed is not 10 tefachim high. So the Gemara says, Tirgam Shmuel b'mita asara. So Shmuel says, no, the bed under discussion is in fact 10 tefachim high. So that means to say that when you're under the bed, so now you are now in a separate oel that's 10 tefachim high, and that's why it negates your mitzvah being in the sukkah. Okay, that's the Gemara's proposal over here. Tosfos over here wonders, first Tosfos in our second perek, so he wonders, let's go back to what we learned on Daf Yud in our Masechta, right? We're on Daf Chaf, so just 10 days ago. So we learned about the psul of sukkah tachet sukkah, that if you build a double-decker sukkah, so you being under the bottom sukkah is going to be psula because there's a sukkah above you. And we learned out through Rasha that you can only be, that the sukkah you're in cannot be underneath another sukkah. Okay, now, if you recall, so we discussed a week and a half ago, so what does that mean that your sukkah tachet sukkah? Meaning how big does the top sukkah have to be in order to qualify the bottom sukkah as being a sukkah tachet sukkah? So if you remember, there were three opinions on the matter. One opinion is that the top sukkah had to be 10 tefachim high, which obviously resonates. It's the easiest position to understand, right? Kech shero kach psulo, meaning the top sukkah wouldn't be a kosher sukkah, anything less than 10. So therefore, If the top sukkah is 10, so then the bottom sukkah now qualifies as sukkah tachas sukkah and therefore is disqualified. But if you remember, there were two other opinions over there. Another opinion is that the top sukkah only needs to be 4 tefachim high, because that's a makam chashuv. And another opinion is that the top sukkah only needs to be 1 tefach high, because 1 tefach is an oel. So Tosos wonders, is that mean over here that when the Gemara says that in order for the bed to negate the sukkah, the bed has to be 10 tefachim high? And does that mean that if I, going back to Daf Yod, if I said that the top sukkah is 4 tefachim high, that negates the lower sukkah, does that mean that he would say over here that if the bed is 4 tefachim high, that would negate your sukkah? Conversely, if you over there said that the top sukkah only needs to be 1 tefach high, does that mean that our sukkah over here, that our bed over here only needs to be 1 tefach high in order to negate? Now, if it's only 1 tefach high, by the way, you wouldn't fit underneath it, but okay. Anyway, but you get the idea. Tosfos says maybe not. If you look at the first Tosfos over here in the second perek, Vishema Mita Shani. I'm jumping right to the answer or the suggestion of Tosfos. Maybe a bed's different. Really, is a bed an ohel? Right, it's not really an ohel. You didn't construct the bed to serve as an ohel. Obviously, the construction of the bed is to lie down on the bed, not underneath the bed. So, to call it an ohel is not super clear cut. Tosfos over here describes it as an ohel arai. Hilka chulamo de bepachus mesar lav klamu. So, it could be that over here in our discussion, with a bed, it specifically has to be 10 tefachim high in order for it to qualify as an OL, and that's why it's going to be mafsik. That's why it's going to interrupt. It'll negate you being in the sukkah in large. Okay, so we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up to non-hasim. We'll start with the Tumah Tahara discussion and the issue of the definition of an OL. Let's recap. Let's review our day today. We started today with a Mishnah all the way back on Yud Tesamid Beis, talking about making a schach mat. And if I make it large versus I make it small, and what if I have no kavana when I make it? And a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer. After much discussion of the Gemara, on Chaf Amud Aleph, halfway down, the Gemara finally concludes that when it comes to a katana, a stam katana is made for shchiva, therefore subject to Tumas Medras, therefore cannot be used as schach. But if it's gedola, we have a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar says that stam gedola is made for shchiva, therefore you cannot use it. And the Chachamim say no, that stam gedola is made for schach, and therefore you are allowed to use it. Good. Adkan, that takes us through round one. Next part of the daf today, the machatzel is made up of shifa and gemi, and whether or not they are soft, and whether or not you could use them as schach, or were they designed for shchiva, and therefore you cannot use them as schach. And in the end of that brisa, Rabbi Dosa, together with Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, says they can all be used for schach, meaning they were not designed for mats, and you can use them for schach, whatever they be made up of. We then spent a good part of today's daf quoting a Mishnah in Adios. The Mishnah in Adios describes these chotzalos, which machlok is between the Tanakam and Rabbi Dosa, whether they're subject to Tumas Mace, that's Rabbi Dosa, or whether or not they're subject to Tumas Medras, and that's the Shita of the Chachamim. The Gemara goes back and forth in terms of a better understanding of this Mishnah in Adios. What are Chotzalos? Two interpretations. The Gemara goes through both interpretations in terms of how can fit into the Machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Dosa. Afterwards, the Gemara said, well, if you're going to explain that chotzalos are in fact machatzalos, which is Reish Lakish's understanding, so then we have a stira between Rabbi Dosa and Rabbi Dosa. Because Rabbi Dosa on the Amud Aleph said that you're allowed to use mats for your schach, meaning it's not mekabel tum at all. Not tumas meis, not tumas medras. And meanwhile, the Mishnah in Adios, as understood by Reish Lakish, who describes it as mats, and according to Rabbi Dosa, it may not be subject to tumas medras, but it's subject to tumas meis, and therefore you can't use it for schach. That was the question. The answer is very simple. It just simply depends in terms of whether or not the mat has a rim around it, which now makes it, and now qualifies as a toch, or it does not have a rim around it. So if it has a rim around it, you cannot use it as schach. If it has no rim around it, you are allowed to use a schach. And the Gemara concludes the first perek basically with this idea and gave a number of examples that were prevalent in the day of different types of mats. Mats that came from Mechuza and other types of mats. And then we started the second paragraph this morning. A person lying under the bed in his sukkah. Was he Mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah? The Tanakam of our Mishnah coupled with Rabbi Gamliel says no. Rabbi Yehuda says that yes, he's still Mekayim the mitzvah. Tomorrow we will start with a discussion of what exactly is the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, but we learned together that according to the Tanakama, it's only going to be a psul, only when the bed itself is 10 tefachim high. And again, we're going to discuss more of that tomorrow.